Hello everybody, today we'll be reading chapter 28 of Avengers 1. Chapter 28.
Call it, Captain.
Iron Man said. All right, listen up, Steve said. Until we can close that portal, and priority's containment. Barton, only on that roof, eyes on everything. Carl, Patton's and Strays. Stark, you got the perimeter. Anything gets more than 3 blocks out, you turn it back, we turn it to ash. Hulk, I turned to Iron Man.
Wanna give me a lift? Right.
Iron Man said. He wrapped an arm around Hawkeye's waist.
Better clench up, Legolas.
He rocketed straight up to the rooftop Steve had pointed out and released Hawkeye before taking off to hold the perimeter around Stark Tower. Door, Steve went on. You have to try to barn-leg that pole. Slow him down. You got the lining? Light them up. Door swung Mjolnir in a tight circle and flew off, smashing Chitauri out of his way as he rose higher against the New York City skyline. Steve turned to the Black Widow. You and me, we stay here on the ground. Keep the fighting here, he said. Hulk? The Hulk turned and glowered at Steve. There's really only one order you could give the Hulk, Steve thought. One word. Smash! The Hulk bared his teeth and leapt away. He bounded up the sides of a nearby building, crushing Chitauri with single blows whenever he was in arm's reach of them. Then he leapt into the air and swatted the flyers down before charging off into the chaos. Thor reached the top of the Empire State Building and lifted Mjolnir. Storm clouds gathered and lightning struck down, hundreds of bolts reaching for Mjolnir. Thor turned the Empire State Building's iconic spire into a lightning rod, gathering the force of the elements into it. Then he thrust Mjolnir in the direction of the portal. All the energy he had built up blazed out in a single forking bolt. It struck and destroyed every single Chitauri between the Empire State Building and the portal itself. Hundreds of them exploded and tumbled from the sky at once, including several of the Leviathans that tumbled down, smashed into buildings below. He had earned them a breather, but only for a moment. It was up to the rest of the Avengers to put it to good use and turn the tide against Loki. On the helicarrier, Fury and Hill watched. She cocked her head and listened as a messenger came over her earbud. Sir, the Council is on. This was the last thing Fury needed in the middle of a war. We turned to answer the call. From his sniper's perch, Hulk shot arrow after arrow, everyone finding its mark. He also tried to keep an eye on what threats the rest of the team was facing.
Stark, got a lot of strays sniffing your trail. Just trying to keep them off the streets.
Tony joked.
Well, they can't bank the way you can.
Hawkeye said.
You might want to find a tight corner. I will roger that.
Tony said. Hawkeye watched as Iron Man peeled his Chitauri pursuers off in a series of maneuvers to tight spaces. And he crashed into overpasses and blew up and spun out of control to try and stay with Iron Man. For tight turns between tall buildings. The last of them lit up the front of a bank building with a fireball, and Tony said.
Nice call. What else you got? Well,
Hawkeye said.
Thor's taking on a squadron down on 6th, and he didn't invite me.
Tony said in mock anger.
That's the attitude,
Hawkeye thought. The Hulk charged through a building, leaping out the window to land on the muzzle of an approaching Leviathan before it could shear the building down. Worker screamed as he pulled it around to the side and down, hammering away at its armor-pierced skull. He brought it down the street and finished it off, not far from where the Black Widow and Captain America were holding their own against overwhelming numbers of Chitauri on foot. They couldn't do it forever. Captain, the Black Widow said, none of this is going to mean a thing if we don't close that portal. Our biggest guns can touch it, Cap said. Well, maybe it's not about guns, she suggested. Steve thought he knew where she was getting at. She was mighty good in close quarters. If I get up there, you're going to need a ride. She eyed a passing Chitauri flyer. I can't get a ride. I could use a boost, though. Am I sure about this? She looked up, gouging the distance and speed of an oncoming flyer. Yeah, it's gonna be fun. She ran and leapt onto his shield, and Steve flung her into the air. She caught the bottom of the Chitauri craft and was gone, riding it out of sight. Iron Man saw her fly past and figured he might know what she was up to. He picked off the nearest Chitauri following her, and then peered back to give Cap a hand. He was all by himself, facing down maybe 20 Chitauri. Tony hit the ground firing, and even the odds a little. He still hadn't found Thor's little party that Hawkeye had mentioned. That was because Thor and the Hulk were on the back of a Leviathan. The Hulk wrenched loose one of his dorsal plates, reared back, and pounded it into the base of the Leviathan's skull. Thor followed with a blow from Mjolnir, and the Leviathan heeled over to one side. They smashed through the windows of a train station's upper level and came to rest. Satisfied, Thor nodded and glanced over at the Hulk. Perhaps the scales were even from the last fight against each other on the helicarrier. The Hulk shot out his left fist and smashed Thor all the way across the block-long gallery. Then it was his turn to look satisfied.
Very well,
Thor thought.
Now we're even. Let us take the fight to the Chitauri and to Loki.
Chapter 29. Steve was taking down Chitauri as fast as he could. There were always more of them. He fought with everything he had, from the streets near the train station to a bank where he freed a room full of hostages. But when that fight was over, he stood in the street and thought maybe they weren't going to win after all. The military had arrived, but all they could do was coordinate evacuations and provide lure covering fire. They couldn't mount an effective opposition to the Chitauri. Steve stood for a moment. He felt something he never felt before. Hopeless. Maybe that was just Loki. But Steve was starting to feel like the Chitauri were going to absorb every punch the Avengers could throw. They had to close that portal, or nothing was going to stop the invasion. Fury stood and listened to the World Security Council explain that they had taken the operation out of his hands. They were going to use a nuclear missile to destroy the Tesseract and close the portal, but at the cost of untold civilian lives. Fury protested as strongly as he could, and one of the councillors cut him off. Director Fury, the council has made a decision.
I recognize the council has made a decision,
Fury said.
But given that it's a stupid decision, I've elected to ignore it.
Director, you're closer than any of our subs. You scrambled that jet.
That is the island of Manhattan, Counselor. Until I am certain my men cannot hold it, I will not order a nuclear strike against the civilian population.
If we don't hold them here, we lose everything.
That's why you don't understand,
Fury thought.
If I send that bird out, we already have.
Natasha was having trouble shaking the last Chitauri pursuing her. When she glanced over her shoulder, she understood why. It was Loki. Hawkeye, she said, putting the craft into a tight turn back towards the position. He stood on the rooftop where Iron Man had dropped him, across the street from Stark Tower, and he was still picking Chitauri out of the sky with his incredible accuracy.
I got him,
he said. He lined up an arrow and let it fly. It was an incredible shot over a distance of several hundred yards at a moving target, and it was perfect. Until Loki reached up and snatched the arrow out of the air just inches from his face. He looked in Hawkeye's direction and smiled. And that was when the explosive arrowhead detonated and blew him off the Chitauri craft. He fell onto the Stark Tower balcony as the out-of-control craft destroyed the S and the T in the Stark logo. Thor had already inadvertently smashed the R before. The Black Widow followed, leaping off her craft and rolling into combat stance. Loki saw her and stood. She knew she didn't have a chance against him in a straight-up fight, but that wasn't going to stop her from trying. But she never even got the chance. The Hulk, flying out of nowhere, crashed into Loki and drove him through the last intact balcony window into Tony's living room. He pounded the floor and came after Loki again, but Loki stood up and screamed, "Enough!" The Hulk paused, confused. "You are, all of you, beneath me," Loki raged. "I am a god, you dark creature, and I will not be bullied by..." The Hulk didn't bother to listen to anymore. He grabbed Loki's leg, swung the Asgardian over his head, and pounded him down to the floor 6 or 7 times as hard as he could. When it was over, the floor was trashed, and so was Loki. He lay staring up at the ceiling, an expression of incredible surprise on his face.
"Puny god,"
Dog snarled, and stomped off to rejoin the fight. On the rooftop, Natasha approached the machine holding the Tesseract, wondering what she could do. "The scepter," said Devik Selvig. She looked over at him and saw that he was free of Loki's spell. How had that happened? She knew Iron Man had tried to destroy that machine. Maybe the explosion from his repulsors had shocked Sylvie back to senses, just like Hawkeye had been freed from Loki by a sharp blow to the head. "What about it?" she asked. "The energy. The Tesseract can't fight it. You can't protect against yourself." He's racked with guilt. She could see it on his face. Again, just like Barton, both of them were suffering from the knowledge of what they had done under Loki's control. She knelt next to him and said, "It's not your fault. You didn't know what you were doing." Selvig digested this for a moment and then said, "Actually, I think I did. I built in a safety to cut the power source." "Loki's scepter," she said, understanding. "The scepter was given its power by the same source as the Tesseract. It could reach through the energy barrier." Maybe you'll close the portal, he said, and glanced down over the edge of the rooftop to a lower floor. And I'm looking right at it. Elsewhere on the battlefield, the Chitauri were slowly but surely gaining the upper hand. There were just too many of them. Thousands and thousands against only 6 Avengers. Hawkeye ran out of arrows and was forced to flee his rooftop sniper's perch. Iron Man's energy was running desperately low after he destroyed another Leviathan by flying to his mouth and exploding it from the inside on his way through. Captain America was still battered and at the edge of his strength. And in a hangar on the helicarrier, a pilot was receiving orders. Director Fury is no longer in command. Override order 7-Alpha-1-1.
7-Alpha-1-1 confirmed,
pilot said.
We'll go for takeoff.
He lifted off, carrying a nuclear missile designed to put an end to the Chitauri threat once and for all. But it will also be the end of every living thing on the island of Manhattan. On the bridge, Maria Hill called out, "We have a rogue bird! Someone stop it!" Nakuri himself went out onto the flight deck with a shoulder-fired missile launcher. He blew the landing gear out of from under the taxi and jet and skidded to a halt on the edge of the deck. But then a second jet screamed past, taking off before he could do anything about it. The World Security Council had gone behind his back, and they had sent 2 planes, anticipating he would be able to react fast enough to get one. Now it didn't make any difference, unless Fury got on the radio and pinged Iron Man directly, no one to distract the rest of the team.
Stark, do you hear me? We have a missile headed straight for the city.
The sounds of battle crackled back through the radio along with Tony Stark's voice.
How long? 3 minutes max,
Fury said.
The payload will wipe out Midtown, at least.
Tony didn't ask any more questions.
Jarvis, put everything we've got into the thrusters.
Fury heard him say. When he got back inside to the bridge, he could see that Iron Man had shared his Chitauri pursuit and rocketed away from the battle, heading south to intercept the missile. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Chapter 28 and 29 of Avengers 1.